One day, a dad told his oldest son to take his younger brother on a long nature hike. Get him out of the house. Go on, put your backpacks on, pack a lunch, and take off. So his brother decides to take him a long ways over logs, around rocks, crossing creeks, through gullies, finally gets him way out there on this hill, and they said, well, let's stop for a snack. So they pull out their snack, and they're looking. It's a beautiful view. They're on top of the hill, and the older brother asks the younger brother, do you know where home is? And he says, no. Well, what if I took off and left you alone? The younger brother says, you won't. I know you. Besides, I know Dad. The older brother asks, do you know where you are right now? And the younger brother says, no. Well, it sounds like you're lost if you don't know where you are and you don't know where home is. The little brother says, I don't have to know exactly where I am or exactly where home is. I can't ever be lost as long as I am with you. We're continuing on in John chapter 14. This morning, I'm going to be reading a paraphrased story version of it. John 14, verse 1. Jesus gives his disciples some of his final instructions. Don't you allow your own hearts to be troubled. You are in charge of your own hearts. Don't allow hard times ahead to ever throw you off. You trust in Father God, don't you? Of course you do. Trust in me the same way. You will always have your own place in my Father God's home. Our home is your home. If that weren't the case, then I wouldn't have told you that I am on my way to get your place ready for you. When everything is finally made ready for you, I will come back for you. I always want you to live where I live. I always want us to be together. I shouldn't have to tell you again about the road I am taking to get home. You already know that road that I must travel. The disciple Thomas says, Master, you keep saying that we know that homebound road, but I'm telling you, we haven't figured it out yet. Just exactly how do you expect us to know this road? It's still a mystery to us. Jesus responds, I am that homebound road. I am also all truth, all the reality that you'll ever need. I am the life that is the God kind of life. There is only one road that leads home to the Father God, and that road is me. You cannot find the Father God any other way, on any other road. If you really knew me, you would know the Father God as well. From this moment forward, I'm telling you that you already know the Father God. You looked right at him. You've already seen him. Philip then says, Master, just go ahead and really show us the Father God, and then we'll be content and quit asking all these questions. Jesus said, Philip, you've been with me all this time, and you still don't understand? Seeing me is seeing the Father. We're identical in existence and character and nature. So how can you possibly ask, show us the Father God? Father God is not different from me. Don't you believe that I am completely in the Father God and the Father God is completely in me? This is pure covenant relationship. The words that I say to you, that you physically hear, aren't just sounds in the air that might possibly mean something if you put them together just right. I don't pull these words out of my own head. The Father God who resides on the inside of me through the Holy Spirit of God carefully crafts each word I speak into a divine act. These words are spiritually understood. Yet you understand how covenant works, so just simply believe that I am wholly living within my Father God, just like my Father God is wholly living within me. I'll make it even easier for you. If words aren't enough to convince you, at least believe in the working of the miracles that you've witnessed firsthand that you saw me do. I'm going to tell you one more fantastic thing that you need to believe and that carries the same truth. Anyone who simply believes in me will be given the same ability to do all the mighty works that you saw me do. But not only that, you will do even greater works than these because they will be made available to you. Because I am soon going to be with the Father God, and Father God will extend the same assignment and power to carry it out after I arrive home with him. You can count on it. From this moment forward, whatever you request within the will of God that's connected to who I am and why I came and what I came to do, I will do it for certain. That is how people will be able to see just how glorious Father God is, by seeing the works of the Son of God being manifest through you as well. Just use the authority of my name to open the way for the completion of these requests. Then watch me do it. Jesus said that greater works would be done for us, by us, because he's going to the Father. How could that possibly be? How could we do something greater than Jesus ever did? Well, if we sat two kids down across from each other and put 30 M&Ms in front of one of them and 3,000 M&Ms in front of the other child, would they notice the difference? I think so. Would you say that they have the same M&Ms in front of them? Does one child have greater? Based on what? Quantity. Jesus, his ministry touched thousands of people. His extended ministry through us reached billions. Did Jesus' ministry bring glory to the Father? Of course it did. We're extension of that same ministry, right? Are we doing the greater works? We are. We're doing the greater works. They look the same, but they're in greater quantity. The whole body of Christ is spread throughout the earth. When Jesus was on planet Earth, his body was in one place. Now his body is spread around the entire planet. Jesus said to use his name. To use it for what? Against what? Why would we need his name? He said to use it. Why would we need it? You ever tried to get rid of a demon by saying, in the name of me? Yeah, see how far that gets you. Are there legal doors that need to be opened? There are. Everything in the spirit realm is done legally. Everything is legal in heaven. And spiritual doors need to be open and closed on planet Earth. And you need the name of Jesus to do that. Matthew 16:19 says this, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The Message Paraphrase Bible says this, and that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth or earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven. Did you ever notice that a 180-pound police officer can stand by the side of the road and hold up one hand and hold up the other hand with a 5-ounce badge and stop an 80,000-pound loaded truck? How does he do that? Authority. because that 180-pound policeman with a 5-ounce badge has the full weight of the state of Wisconsin backing him. The state of Wisconsin weighs more than a truck. One night, a U.S. battleship was traveling off the eastern coast of the United States. It spotted a light very far out in front of it. It signaled to the light, "Turn 10 degrees starboard." The light signaled back, "You turn 10 degrees port." So they signaled again. "I said, you turn 10 degrees starboard." The light signaled back. "And I said for you to turn 10 degrees port." The ship's officer on duty called the admiral to the helm and briefly told him the situation. The ship signaled, "This is Admiral George Nelson. I am ordering you to turn 10 degrees starboard." The light replied, "This is Seaman First Class Billy Jones. I'm ordering you to turn 10 degrees port." The admiral signaled back, "This is Admiral George Nelson again. Turn 10 degrees starboard. I am a battleship." The light replied, "This is Seaman First Class Billy Jones again. Turn 10 degrees port. I am a lighthouse." One of them carries more authority. One of them is built on a solid rock, and a light shines from that solid rock. Any born-again Billy Jones outranks any devilish forces against him. He's not going anywhere. He's fixed on a solid rock. Jesus said, "You trust in God, trust also in me." Is it possible to trust in God but not trust in Jesus? Tricky, isn't it? Because false religions and cults try it all the time. Can a Christian believe in Jesus? This is very tricky now, but not trust in Jesus. Yeah, that's where faith comes in. Salvation is a starting point. Belief and faith are basically the same words. It's like Kathy spelled with a C and Kathy spelled with a K. You yell Kathy and they both look, right? Well, that's what belief and faith is. They're basically the same words with one minor difference. I'll be a little clearer. Can someone believe in Jesus but not trust him with their finances? Christians do it all the time. Can they believe in Jesus but not trust him with their health? They do it all the time. Can they believe in Jesus and not trust him to protect them? Yeah, they do it all the time. They do it all the time. So a lot of people, if you asked them initially, "Do you trust in Jesus?" they go, "Oh, yeah, I trust in Jesus. I trust in Jesus for what?" They trust in Jesus for not going to hell, that when they die, they're going to go to heaven. But it's way bigger than that. To get this job done, to have a wonderful, incredible, abundant life. I was reading this morning in the Bible that word, the abundant life, doesn't mean that in Greek. It doesn't. You know, that you'll have an abundant life? I found out it doesn't mean that at all. It means a super, super abundant life. It said abundant is too small of a word to describe the word in Greek. That abundant just means like extra. But the word that's used is beyond being able to calculate or count it. It's just too much. It's so much that you can't count it. That's the word that's used, the abundant life. And a lot of Christians would say, well, I'd settle for at least the first one. You know, just get my bills paid, not hurt anywhere at night. Have a car that gets me there and back. And that's not the word that's used. What's made available is everything. In a tribe in Africa, a boy had fallen off a cliff, caught a branch partway down. Somebody has to go over the side and get him. So the tribe got together and decided that the most athletic young man in the tribe would go down and get him. They got all the rope, and they got all ready, and the guy wouldn't go over the edge. He said, wait till my brother gets here. He said, well, you're the most athletic young man in our village. We've got the rope around you. We'll lower you down. You rescue the boy. He says, nope, not till my brother gets here. He said, why? He said, well, if I run into any problems down there, I know my brother up here would never let go of the rope. He didn't trust the other people, did he? He knows his brother, that his brother would die before he would release the rope, right? Well, down here, Jesus will never let go of the rope up there, ever. That's who we serve. Our big brother is holding on to the other end of the rope that we're tied to. We can go over the edge now on whatever assignment that God gives you, because we know and trust and rely and depend with confidence that at the other end of the rope is somebody who will never let go. Praise God. Praise God. That same one said, I go to prepare a place for you, your place. Did you know that you have a place? You don't just have a place on earth. You have a place in heaven. It's nice having a place. If you've ever dealt with anyone that's been homeless or been homeless yourself for any short amount of time in your life, the word, I have a place, is very important. A place. Well, God has two places for you right now. This place and that place. And after we're done with this place, we go to that place. Well, what is your place like? Well, what do you like? I mean, some people think they're going to be living in a condo, a stack of a concrete building, and they got to go up like 183 million floors and off to the left and down the hall. And in their mind, they're thinking, mountain right there, waterfall right there, crystal clear pool right there, flowers over there. And then their brain switches back over to the condo. They're going, oh, I'll bet when I get to heaven, it's like, you know, I'll bet if Jesus went to prepare a place for you, he already knows what you like. And when you get there, some people are mountain people. Some people like to see the water. Some depends on where you're at on the inside. Some people live for the city. They love it being in the middle of everybody and everything. Not me. He knows what you like, and it's his job to make sure that the place that's prepared, that he's in charge of doing that. So whatever your place there is, it's going to be good. But your place here is an assigned place with assigned gifts, assigned people that you run into and connect with. And that's your place. You get out of place, you're out of grace. The grace is the ability to do what God told you to do. Your grace is in your place. Your treasure and reward in heaven is tied to your place here. Praise God. Bless God. Bless God. Trust. Technically, Jesus entrusted himself to no man, for he knew what was in man. It is not a virtue for me to tell you to trust anyone. Well, it should be in the Bible somewhere. You're supposed to trust people. Do you know any people? Do you know yourself? How many times have you let you down? No, the virtue isn't to trust other people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's a rope that's not going to snap or break or go slack. People, they will let you down. Must forgive them. Must offer mercy. Give them opportunity to recover, just like you get the same thing. But praise God, we trust in the Lord, don't we? Yep. Hallelujah. Praise you, Holy God. You're the best ever. You're the best provider, the best deliverer, the best healer, the best of the best. There's no other God but you. And Jesus Christ at the right hand, the same as the Father, and Holy Spirit, the same love that's in the Father and the Son is in you, and that love is on the inside of us. We declare before you right now that you are the reality by which we affix our hope to. We know you. We know what you've done and who you are. We've seen that. We'll see more. We bless your holy name forever. Thank you again for your holy written word. In Jesus' name, amen.